Mark chapter 5, and I would like to use verse 27 for our text and speak on this subject, hearing they come to Christ. People have to hear before they can come. And somebody's got to tell them. And there's two things I'd like to bring out this morning in this message. One is just to encourage us to tell the gospel story. To tell it again and to tell it again. Because we never know what condition someone is in that's exactly what they need. Because situations change and we don't ever know. But I just want to encourage each one of us, encourage me, just to continually tell the gospel. And sometimes, I think really most of the time, the best thing that I can tell is what the Lord did for me. I mean, it may not mean much to somebody else, but it's how the Lord saved me. It's how the Lord dealt with me in showing me my sins and in showing me a Savior and in saving my soul and giving me comfort and peace in that. You know, that is a testimony that nobody can refute. You think about it. It's a testimony nobody can refute. And you back that up with the Bible, and that's a powerful thing. It may be that you know all about it, but maybe somebody else doesn't. So just to encourage you. Next thing is, we want to look at this woman that came. So let's read Mark chapter 5 and verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus came, and those that's the text. When she had heard of Jesus came in the press behind and touched His garment. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, today that You might bless, help me to speak the things that You desire that I say. And I pray, Lord, that it might be from your Word and not from anything else. Bless now and keep, Lord, I pray, Your blessings upon this service. Help us that we might be able to worship You, and I pray that You'd cause Your Word to have an effect upon us for the positive. Bless now and keep us, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. This passage kind of jumped out at me a little bit. I've preached on this lesson before or used this text at least. But when you think about it, that people have to hear. I know the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew chapter 28 that we're supposed to go and to preach the gospel to all the nations, and then those people that are saved, we baptize them by the authority of the Lord in the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and then we teach them all things. That's the system that God has established. But people need to hear the plain old gospel truth. They need to hear the message. And when you look at this passage, and just want to encourage us that to tell the gospel, to tell what Jesus is doing, is a wonderful thing. Because there's people in this world that need to hear. And we don't know exactly who they are. We don't know exactly the circumstance that they're in. We don't know the problems that some of those folks are facing. But some people just need a ray of hope. They need a glimpse that there is some victory. People have to hear. You know, nobody will come unless they first hear. And this woman had this issue of blood for 12 long years. And finally, she heard of Jesus Christ. Notice in this that I want to notice just some places in the Bible that people hear. And because of hearing, they come. Just a few places. The book of Matthew, chapter 20, and we're going to come back to the book of Mark and look at this lady here in just a minute. But right now, look in the book of Matthew, chapter 20, and verse 30. Matthew, chapter 20, and verse 30. And notice, we're reading verse 29. The Bible said, "And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed Him." Now notice now. "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Here, these two blind men had heard more than just that Jesus was passing by. But they heard that Jesus, the healer, was passing by. And they themselves knew that they needed healing. And when they heard that he had was passing by, did somebody tell that, reckon? I wonder this. When Jesus came by, how did the story get related that he was coming by? You reckon they told it with any kind of excitement? I think they were thrilled. Amen. The Jesus that you've heard about, that's healed all these people, who is confusing the Pharisees, and we love it. He's coming by this way. And those blind men, when they heard that he was coming by, they were very bashful and retired to their sitting room, waiting on Jesus to come to them. Now read the passage again. And you'll see here the same thing that the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years is the same thing that they did. Same process. Verse 30, the Bible said, When they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. Verse 31, And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. In other words, they said, You shut up. No, listen, here's the thing. When these people heard that Jesus was passing by, and they heard it with their ears, they could not see it with their eyes, they heard it with their ears, they cried out in such a manner that the people around Christ said, Shut up, you're interrupting. And that's what the woman with the issue of blood did. However, a different way, but she got the attention of Christ. Now these two blind men, they shouted, say, well, why didn't they just sneak up behind Jesus? Well, it's obvious they couldn't see Him. They didn't know where to sneak up to. But they knew how to shout. And they came to Christ the way that they could. Notice, some people just come out of curiosity, maybe. The book of Luke chapter 7. There's all kinds of people that hear about Christ, and there's all kinds of people in this world today that hear about religion and hear about Christ, but some are really interested for themselves. In Luke chapter 7 and verse 5, Luke chapter 7 verse 1 is where we're going to begin reading. It says, Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, so here's a fellow that's in trouble, his servant is going to die. And he's asking the doctors, and they say, We can't do anything. But there's somebody that can. Boy, isn't that a good gospel message right there? Because when people come to us and they're sinners and they know they're doomed to hell, there's nothing we can do, but we know somebody that can. And so, here, he heard of Jesus. He sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was a worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. So here, the centurion called for him, and of course he came. Some people, however, do not believe at all. The book of Luke, chapter 23. Now here's another person that heard of Jesus and has perhaps no intentions at all of believing. The book of Luke, chapter 23, And let's read in verse 8. So here's the thing. Whenever you go into the world, or you go to your neighbor, or you go to whoever you go to, just because they don't accept what you tell them doesn't mean you failed. We can only fail if we do not take the gospel to them. That's the only way we'll ever fail. Some people will accept it. Some people, out of curiosity perhaps, as Herod, is just kind of wondering about things. And I've talked to a lot of people that just want to philosophize religion. They're not really interested in conversion. They're not really interested in salvation. They're just interested in another thought. And here's Herod. The book of Luke, chapter 23, and verse 8. And when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad. So he did hear. For he was desirous to see him of a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. So here's a curious kind of guy. He just kind of wants to be in on it. He wants to say, oh, I've seen a miracle that Jesus did. I mean, that's all he's got on his mind. From this passage, that's what we find. And also, there's some Pharisees that hear, but they don't have any intentions of believing. The book of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4. You see, the Word goes out. And in this world today, the Word of Jesus Christ goes out. And you can talk to people in jail. You can talk to people, convicted criminals. You can talk to most anybody, and they will tell you they know something about Jesus. But that doesn't mean that they're saved. That doesn't mean that they have come to know Him personally in forgiveness of sin. The book of John, chapter 4, and verse 1, the Bible said, when therefore the Lord knew how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. So here the Pharisees had heard about Jesus. How did they hear? Well, it's just everywhere. And that's kind of the way the gospel is today. It's everywhere, and yet sometimes it's just nowhere. It's nowhere in particular. That's just the way that it is. But this woman, back in the book of Mark, chapter 5, really heard about Jesus Christ. Now, but I do want to encourage you to know that we need to take the gospel message. And as God enables us in our everyday life, and as we pray to God and ask God to give us the strength and the courage to speak His truth, to tell the folks, to tell that person that God lays upon our heart, as we see them and God impresses us to speak to them, may God help us to speak to them the whole truth. All the truth and nothing but the truth. Because that's what God is going to use. And we never know how. We might not see them fall on their knees there before the Lord and trust the Lord. We may not see that. But maybe later they will come to know Christ. So we just have to stand and tell the truth and be true about it all. Notice back here in the book of Mark, chapter 5, concerning this woman. I want you to see this, that this lady has a problem, of course. This is part number 2 of the message. This lady has a problem, and the problem is her health. And oftentimes, in this old body, we have ravages of illness and disease and whatever that comes upon us, and doctors can do nothing about it. Here this lady had an issue of blood. The Bible states in verse 25, and she had it for 12 years. That's a long time to be sick. The Bible states here in verse 26, she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. I got a notion this lady was in a position to want help. That's when she heard about Jesus. You know what a truth it is. That until a person comes to the place of wanting help, they will not accept help. As long as I can do it myself, I don't want any help. I mean, that's the way we're built. Well, that's the way I'm built. I guess some folks are built to everybody let somebody else do it for them, but I'm just built the other way. But here this lady had this issue of blood for 12 years. And she had suffered, the Bible said. Not only had she suffered with her disease, but she had also suffered at the hand of the doctor. Isn't that the truth? I mean, that's the truth. Brother Brian got his arm hurt, and he suffered pains with that arm. Pushing or pulling, couldn't do it. He went to the doctor, and the doctor went through all the records, and then said, well, I've got to check the patient now. And then he hurt him. Suffered many things. And that, you know what I'm talking about. You go to the doctor, and you got a sore or whatever, and that's the very first thing they do is poke on that sore right there, as if they won't take my word for it, that it's hurting. But they've got to find for themselves, you see. And they give you medicine and all of that. But here this lady was ready. Notice, this lady began her suffering a long time before Jesus began His ministry. She'd been suffering that long with it all. And my, she needed some help. God put this lady in a position that she was ready and that she was wanting to hear about a solution. But somebody told her. I wonder who told her. The Bible said here in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus. I wonder who told her. You know, today there are many that believe the soul winner is very important. Sometimes there are those that believe that the soul winner is more important than the one that wins the soul, than Jesus Himself. But you know, Jesus did not tell us who told this woman about Him. Jesus didn't tell us because it's really not important. Even the Apostle Paul, he wrote and he said, it doesn't make any difference. We're all just servants anyway. I did the water. I did the planting, I think he said. And Apollos did the watering. The important thing is that it is God that gives the increase. That is the thing that really does count. But notice, here is a ray of hope. Here is a ray of light. All of her friends wanted her to be well, and somehow they heard about Jesus. Well, He's just everywhere. The message is everywhere. But the message, I believe, was told with some enthusiasm. I believe the message was told with a ray of hope. This is hope for you. The person, and this is my belief, and I believe this is the way that we ought to tell the gospel message, with a ray of hope. Not just saying, okay, 1, 2, 3, and that's it. With just blah. But there ought to be a little bit of enthusiasm about it because it's meant something to me. There ought to be an excitement about what Christ has done for me. And I'm not talking about something that you've got to muster up or build up within yourselves. I'm not talking about that. But I'm rather talking about when you think about what Jesus has done for you. And you know that it's absolutely so. You'll be glad to tell it. This woman, the Bible states here in verse 25, had an issue of blood. Now, she's a Jew. I'm taking it because Jesus is among the Jews. It could be that she's another nationality. But it didn't say that. And any time in the Bible there's another nationality involved, it is declared. So I'm taking it here that this is a Jewish woman. Now, she is ceremonially unclean because she has an issue of blood. And I don't know exactly what our problem is. We're not told, except that she has an issue of blood. She is ceremonially unclean, and because of that, she would be unfit to be in a crowd. She would be unfit for people to be around her or for her to be around others. Now, a sinner might say, I am a sinner and I cannot come before God because He is altogether holy, righteous, pure, and I am I'm a sinner, I'm blackened in sin, and how can I come to Jesus, the Holy One of God? You see the difference there. I mean, there's a great separation between sinners and God. There's a great separation. And so we might say, I cannot come. And here's a woman who is ceremonially unclean and is unfit for public. According to the law, she is to be separated unto her own place. And yet here is a lady that comes to Jesus. And listen, this is where our hope is coming unto Jesus Christ. She decided, she looked at this, and she said, I am going to come to Christ. Notice in verse 28, the Bible said in verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment, for she said. And here in verse 28, we understand some of her thought processes before she put those thought processes into action. First of all, she heard. And then in verse 28, she made a decision. She said, for I will come to Christ, and if I can just touch His clothes, I will be healed. Understand this. Her plan did not save her. Understand that. Her plan did not save her. Understand this. The decision that the woman made to come to Christ and touch His garment did not save her. No. But carrying out that plan did. No. No. Carrying out the plan did not. What did? Let's read it. And I'm jumping ahead here a little bit in verse 34. Here's what Jesus said. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. That passage coupled with this passage in verse 30. Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now there's two things involved here. The woman was healed not because she made a conscious decision. The woman was healed not because she carried out her plan, but she was healed by the power of God. She was healed because of faith in believing in God that He could save her. She was not trusting in touching His garment. She was trusting in Jesus who wore the garment. That's who she was trusting in, was in Christ and in Christ alone. There's a lot of people today that want to make a decision to trust Christ, and they're trusting their decision. Can't be done. That's not salvation. I said before, you can't trust your trusting to be saved. If you're trusting, you're trusting. If you're believing and you're trusting, you're not trusting in Jesus. Because Christ is the one that saves. You can't trust in the plan. But you're trusting in the man, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you're trusting in. And that's where this woman was. Listen, she didn't have anything else. She didn't have any money. She didn't have any prestige. She didn't have any way to approach Christ. Because it was illegal. It was illegal for her to come to Christ in public and say, "You got to heal me. I have an issue of blood." That was illegal. She couldn't do it. So she came this way. She came this way. You notice, it wasn't touching the clothes that caused this woman to be healed. The Bible said here, and I read verse 30, where Jesus was going along, and you notice there was a throng of people. The Bible states there in verse 31 that there was a throng of people. And then in verse 27, it says that she came in the press behind. Now, those are not newspaper reporters. All right, the press is not newspaper reporters. They're not reporters. What that is that there's a gob of people that's packed in there together. And that's what it explains to us there in verse 31. And when the disciples, when Jesus Christ stopped, of course everybody else stopped. And the Bible says that He turned about in the press. That tells me that the woman was not facing Christ when she touched His garment. She came up behind Him, which is a pretty good thing to do. I mean, that was a struggle for her. I mean, she worked at it. And the sinner that comes to Christ, they come to Christ and there's some effort put forth on their part to come to Christ. There's some struggles that they have. And you know that in your own self, when you were lost, there were some struggles that you had to deal with. There were some things that you had that troubled you and bothered you about coming to Christ. Something you needed to do. And yet there were some struggles there. But she came. But notice, when Jesus stopped and He turned around, He said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples were incredulous. They said, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" But listen. There is a touch, but there is the touch. Let me tell you this. It is one thing to know about Jesus Christ, but it is a totally different thing to know Jesus Christ. Totally different. The world hears about God. They curse His name all the time. And it's one thing to know that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. The world knows the story. But it's a totally different thing to know that He died for me. You see? This is what Jesus is talking about here. And the people don't get it because they don't understand what's happened. They're just on their way to another healing when they miss the healing that takes place right in their midst. In verse 32, "And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing." And you know, here's the neat thing. Do you think that if she could have, she would have got away? I don't know. But the woman came up behind Christ in the press and she struggled to get up there just to touch His garment. And as soon as that happened, Christ stopped and she was right there. And Christ turned around and she was right there and she couldn't get away. She was hemmed in. And that scared her. You ever been scared? I'm talking about facing Jesus, who is kind and compassionate. Why was she afraid? Christ was known for throwing fits, right? I mean, He did take that cat of nine tails into the temple there and clean that out a little bit. You know, and overturn the money changer. Maybe that's what she's thinking, right? No, I don't think so either. No. God is full of compassion, but there is a certain fear. Why? Why is that? And it's because of the power that He has. Because that, whatever God said, whatever Christ said, that's going to be it. She knows that. She knows that Jesus Christ is the one that can do anything. Jesus Christ is the one that can heal a blind man's eyes. He's the one later that's going to raise the dead. He's the one that has already turned the water into wine. Wow! There's nothing He can't do. And she is in His presence. The Bible said in verse 32, and He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And I think here in verse 32 that Jesus Christ knew who what had happened. He knew what had happened. Now, I need to say what had happened. Look back with me, because I didn't get into this a while ago. Verse 30, I want to look at a word, the word virtue. See in verse 30? See that word virtue? And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him. Some people read that passage and they say, well, virtue is purity. Virtue is cleanliness. That's not what that means. Now, virtue, to be virtuous... In our society today, and the way we define the word oftentimes means purity. There is the virgin, which we know is pure. But sometimes there's another part of the word that is overlooked entirely. The word virtue means power, strength, is what it means. And Jesus felt that. That's what He said. That I felt power going out of me. It was not that Jesus lost His purity. It's not that at all. It is that Jesus knew by the power leaving Him that this woman had been healed. Of course, He knew it. Even though he had His back turned, He knew. Alright? And that's how it is. Nobody's going to be saved without Jesus knowing about it. And I'll tell you something else. Nobody's going to be saved without you knowing about it. Now, I do know this. I know that you can forget what's happened to you. I know that you can forget. The Bible tells us about that in Peter. That you can forget that you were purged from your old sins. I know that that's so. But at the time, you remember. You know what happened to you. Verse 33, we're looking at this verse. The woman... was afraid. She had just been cleansed. And she knew it right away. She knew it right away. The woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, now notice what else, came. What? Maybe she did get away a little bit. Now look at the word came. In verse 27, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press. Now that gives us one picture of the woman who was perhaps at home, or perhaps at the marketplace, or perhaps somewhere else, and she heard of Jesus and knew where He was, and so she came in the press. I mean, that's one image that we see. But I think here in verse 33, we have perhaps another image. And this image is one of submission. Where the first one was one of making a little trip, making a little journey. But in this one, she comes not in making a trip, because she's right there. But now, it has indications that she is completely submitting herself to the One that has healed her. Completely and totally. She comes with fear and trembling. But the woman, fearing and trembling, she knows what was done in her because it was that issue of blood was dried up immediately. And she knew, she felt in her body that she was healed. And when Jesus was looking around, when Jesus was looking around, she voluntarily came. Said, "Here I am. It's me." From this passage, he didn't point her out. But she came, she fell down before him, and she told him all the truth. Nothing but the truth. Told it all. He said, "Daughter." And you understand here that the words that were spoken in verse 30, Jesus Christ said, "Who touched my clothes?" And then the multitude said, "What are you talking about? You've got all these people all around you and you're worried about who's touching your clothes? What is wrong with you?" Now, they didn't word it like that, but I did. And Jesus turned and the woman came because she knew. She knew. And this tells me that salvation is a very individual matter. And that when a person is saved, they know it. When they're healed, they know it. They know it inside themselves. And salvation is something that you can't tell. You can't explain, really. But you know yourself. And you can tell what happened to you. And people that will listen, that have been saved, they will say, "Yes, that's what happened to me. The circumstances were different, but here's what happened to me." And people that are lost, they'll look at you and say, But people that are real believers, they'll come and they'll tell all the truth. Notice in verse 34, the first word out of Jesus' mouth, when he heard, and she told him all the truth, blurted it all out. She was full of fear and trembling. Don't you think you're supposed to make confession before you're saved? Well, this is not salvation, this is healing. This is healing. And the first word out of Jesus' mouth was, "Daughter." What words of comfort. "Daughter. Daughter. Well-beloved child of mine," he said, "thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." And she slipped away. And I want you to see right here how suddenly the subject changed. How suddenly it changed. In verse 35, while he yet spoke, while Jesus was speaking these words, he was interrupted. There came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master anymore?" So another subject was entered. And yet I want you to see this, that this blessed lady went away touched by the master. This blessed lady went away. Her life changed. The subject was changed immediately. Attention drawn to someone else. But this lady had a change that affected her the rest of her life because the Master's touch. The Master's touch. Something else, though. What this lady did changed others. It changed others. I know that it changed her. But it changed others. You see, her plan of touching the garment of Christ for healing was unprecedented. It hadn't happened before. Where did she get that idea? Well, she came up with it. Look here. Now, I'm reading in Mark chapter 5, right? Mark chapter 5. Look in Mark chapter 6. others would follow in her footsteps. Mark chapter 6 and verse 56. Talking here about Christ, of course, going on to other places. It said, and whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Although it was unprecedented with a woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, now, look what they're doing. And people say, well, that... But listen, I want you to get this, and I know you know this, but it's not the plan that saves. It's not the plan that heals. It's Jesus that does the healing. But you always give what you've got. That's the way we are. And what has worked for us is what we believe ought to work for others. And we eagerly tell it. It gives me indication that this lady told others what happened to her. All I did was touch his garment. And somebody said, that's what I want to do too. It gets us back to the first part of the message. Hearing, they come to Christ. You just tell what happened to you. This lady, no doubt in my mind, told others. Do you think that she went home and didn't tell anybody? She had had this issue of blood for 12 years. And so you think she didn't tell anybody? I tell you what, I think she was jumping and leaping and telling people, Jesus healed me. Just like the guy in the gate beautiful there in the temple with Peter and John, and the guy went into the temple leaping and running and shouting. He was excited. So he was telling. Notice this. In the book of Acts, chapter 5. I mean, I know what the woman did was unprecedented, but it continues. Acts chapter 5, and read verse 12. It's right after the death of Ananias and Sapphira. It said, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all gathered, they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest, there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick unto the streets. And that's the same thing they did back over there in the book of Mark chapter 6. They brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Wow. This healing. I mean, that's power. That's power. They were not, of course, trusting in themselves, but they were trusting in Christ. And this is the thing. It is the Master's touch that makes the difference. It's what Jesus said. It's not what I say. It's rather what Jesus declares and what Jesus works. That's what it's about. Today, the two points that I wanted to cover, the first point being that we need to tell people about what Jesus has done for us. We need to tell them, because that's the way God ordained that it work, and it will work. And God will bless that. He will. And then the second point is about this lady who had this issue of blood for 12 years, and God had brought her to the point that she was ready to listen. And that's the way it is. There's people that God has brought to the place that they're now ready to listen. to the truth of God's Word. God has brought them there. May God help us to say it as God directs us, that His will be done. Today, if you're lost, you might have heard a gospel message many, many times, but I pray that today is the day when God has brought you to the place of understanding that you are indeed a hell-bound sinner, that you are an individual person with sins just dripping off of you, blackened, hell-bound, and deserving to go. But I pray today that will be the day you hear the gospel message, that is, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to save you. Repent, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved. That's the message for you that are lost today. We're going to stand, if you would. Brother Brian, if you'd come, please, as we prepare to sing this song. I trust that the Lord will bless. His Word is only He can. Let's stand, if you would, as we sing, please.